Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
This piece was brought to you by Roberta's, robertaspizza.com.
I'm Damon Bolte, host of The Speakeasy. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Oh, man, we're off to a good start here. The season opener, Arts and Seizure, there we go. All right, let's try that again.
I love this.
It's Arts and Seizure. Seizure, seizure, dang, you know, I promised.
So it was murder.
So it was murder, that's good. You know, I promised some new theme music for this season 5, episode 117 million, I think it is, in the year 5776, I think it is. That's Mickey Finn's going to be playing live cocktail keyboards with us today to join the Cocktail Palooza Superstar, and once again, Arts and Seizure live from Bushwick on the Heritage Radio Network. It's good to be back. Mickey Finn on the keys with everybody's favorite pizza, Pizza Rumba.
Pizza Rumba in the house.
Back. In the house. I'm back from your Greek holiday, from your Grecian holiday.
I was way down south and I was way up north, Mike. So
That probably means something completely different in Greek than it does here.
And Greek is the only language where nay means yes. Okay. But I didn't get too many. Actually, I got a lot of nays.
But that's good.
It is good. It's always good.
And I'm also super duper thrilled to have our good friend Rosie Schott back with us, the queen of cocktails.
Rosie, is that a cocktail or is that a salad?
Well, you know, a Bloody Mary, it's right there on the line. It's a cocktail, it's a meal.
It could be considered a salad.
It's one of my a Bloody Mary is one of my 5 favorite meals of the day.
Yeah.
And Rosie, of course, writes the New York Times about cocktail culture, and you have essays appearing in every known
Got
book.
Essays all over the place right now.
And I loved your hippie hair. essay, and I'm glad that you spelled cosmic with a K and a Z.
Oh, thank you.
The appropriate way.
Yes.
But before we get to it, it is Rosh Hashanah. It is the year of 57 something or other. And I got some apples and some honey, which is a nice old Jewish tradition, keeping it real, to wish you all a very sweet new year. And more importantly, there's pizza coming, but a little apple sunny. That's it. Yeah, get with the music, Mickey Finn.
That's it's apples like, and honey music.
The apples and honey. you know Hava Nagila? You probably played a wedding once in your life. There you go. Anyway, here, have an apple and honey.
Thank you. Yeah, you take one. Shana Tova, everyone.
Shana Tova, everybody.
Pete.
Say Shana Tova.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't get better
Happy
than this.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year. Happy Arts and Seizure.
You're going to get your hands all sticky with that honey.
Liz in the booth, make sure you get some apples and honey for a sweet New Year.
Mm-hmm.
And we have so much to talk about today. But Zaremba, you're also going to bring, yet again, a new cocktail.
Well, it's not new, but it's
either of you. It's okay.
That's right. But it's a cocktail with a famous history.
Is this one going to be like from like the Gemini space program era? Kind of cocktail,
Be it is, because the Flesh Tones did a lot to popularize this cocktail. But the first mention I recall hearing of it is in a play and a movie called The Boys in the Band.
Ah,
and it's the cocktail. Well, the party drink that they
this
mix
is going to be a very macho kind of cocktail. I'm feeling
anyway. We were I did a lot of traveling over the summer, and we were in Curacao, which is the island where they make the original blue Curacao.
That's right, the Windex.
Which is the coloring agent of the blue whale, or in this case, the Blue Lagoon cocktail. So we have some of that for all of us to try. I did some variations on the cocktail, which I believe might be fatal. For its enjoyment.
It's all right. I was planning on far more seizures than art today.
Uh-huh. Here we go.
Pete, I don't know if you know how completely on trend you are with the blue Curacao right now.
Oh,
God. It is officially back.
Is it?
It is. It is. I'm sorry if that depresses you a little
bit. It does.
It kind of depresses me a little bit, to be honest. It's kind of fucked up, actually.
How did it get back?
like blue food. I like the blue Icees and the blue Slurpees. And
right.
What I call like Smurf flavor.
And you probably heard the story of Hitchcock's famous dinner party in which he only served blue food to freak out his guests.
But what I never heard
because
that
there isn't a lot of blue in nature, out there in nature.
Yeah,
right?
What blue foods occur in nature?
Well, yeah, George Carlin did a bit about that. There's no blue food.
There's no blue
food. We want the blue food.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's it's blueberries.
I think the line was blueberries, fuck it, they're purple.
Oh, like I said, freshly squeezed Smurf to get that nice blue slushy.
Well, I finally did get to Curacao and talked to them about the blueness.
Right to the source.
I did. And
is this like part of like you go to Chicago for the blues, you go to Curacao
right, yeah, you go for the blues. All the drinks are blue. And I said, well, you know, the flavoring is from a type of citrus fruit that's not quite an orange that can grow there, but it gives it an orangey flavor, and that's natural. And I said, well, how do you make it blue? And they go, oh, artificial coloring, of course.
Sure.
So I could whip some of that out later or now.
Oh, no time like the present.
No time like
while you make this blue, this goodbye Blue Monday or whatever the hell you're calling this.
Blue Lagoon.
The Blue Lagoon. But this is actually trendy. You are our boots on the ground.
There is an excellent new bar in Chelsea called Porch Light,
mm-hmm.
and one of the first cocktails on their menu when they launched, and it's still on the menu 6, 7, 8 months later, is called a Gunmetal Blue, and it uses this stuff too.
So is it a Blue Lagoon or a Blue Whale?
No, it's its own thing, and I think unusual among drinks with blue curacao that I know in that mezcal is at its foundation. Yeah.
I just didn't even know.
So it's blue and smoky.
Like I said, except for like one of those blue freeze pops. I don't think I've ever had like a blue drink. I don't know, it just seemed wrong to me somehow.
It's not wrong.
And believe me, I drink pretty
much. It's so wrong, it's right, Mike.
It's a new kind of wrong. I was in Chicago a few weeks ago, and I was amazed, speaking of cocktail culture such as it is, that people... I love the Midwest because people will go to a hotel bar and order a Long Island iced tea, unironically, at like 12:30
in the afternoon. Which has also come back.
Oh, right?
Yeah.
Is it?
Oh, yeah.
That'll get you where you want to go, I suppose.
Look at that blue stuff. If only our listeners could see what's being poured into these cups right now.
Now, I am pouring it. I pre-mixed this to save time. However, I'm pouring
it. Okay, hey, but you got to say it's the big shot.
Yes, it's a big shot. From New Orleans, the famous Big Shot's pop bottle with the picturing the Big Shot.
And you just happen to have a ready supply of those bottles.
This is all.
A friend sent a care package from Louisiana. Hang on. Almost done.
Oh, Rosie, you're going to have to tell us how this compares to the higher-end version in Chelsea for blue drink. It's mighty blue.
Mighty blue.
That's my,
it's
a new
gonna
kind
be great
of blue.
With my Bloody Mary. I can see that already.
Nothing works better than
no.
a blue cocktail.
But I think if you were being a little imaginative with the blue food thing, you could extend it to like the famous truite bleu, the pretty much raw trout served still quivering on a plate. Thank you.
Okay. That's just the name of the
this
stuff.
Is good. I don't know whether to drink this or clean my windshield.
Try both. Try both. It'll work. Okay,
well, give some to Mickey Finn. Maybe he'll make some,
Happy New Year.
Some more. Yes.
Bombini or whatever they say in Curacao.
Grandma Flo used to like to drink this in Rosh Hashanah. I know. Oh, well, that's actually very pleasant, isn't it?
It's all right.
It's a little, it's like a... If Robitussin came out with a citrus flavor, this would be
citrusy. You know what? The heavy flavor, unfortunately, I substituted some Ray and Nephew's Overproof for the usual white rum. But usually it's made with vodka, folks. And the reason is that vodka is totally neutral. And I don't like really neutral drinks myself.
No, I like a little flavor.
Well, I think vodka is a cop out. I mean, it's just like I don't like the way booze tastes, so I'm gonna drink vodka with my cranberry.
It's an anesthetic.
I'm gonna do something
and an antifreeze.
Unusual for me and defend vodka a little bit.
I feel like
Vodka can be a real pleasure, but it's one of these things that relies heavily on context. If you're out with a bunch of Ukrainians, vodka is delicious.
Agreed. Agreed. No, ice cold vodka behind, you know, some oysters or some caviar.
Sure.
Absolutely makes sense.
Smoked
if it's
salmon.
The right stuff.
Yeah.
You know, ice cold in, you know.
Ice cold.
You know, in shooters. I, you know, I like a vodka martini, but, you know, also, but it's got to be very balanced correctly. It's not just a bowl of vodka. It's something else. It's got to be its own sort of poetry. But as the founder of the He-Man Vodka Haters Association, a little group I had, it was a time in my life when, you know, I was just being invited to a lot of publicity events, and it was all open bars, and it was always invariably sponsored by some shitty vodka brand that you've never fucking heard of and will never hear of again, you know, Trump vodka, whatever it is.
Oh, dear.
Right? And it was like, oh, and the drinks provided by, you know, by Zaramba vodka.
That sounds good.
You know?
Actually, that sounds a little...
Actually, that sounds pretty legit.
That sounds top shelf, you know, to me.
It's better than like the Gorbachev vodka, whatever they're peddling, the Yeltsin vodka.
Gorbachev famously kind of abstemious. This is why many Russians did not love him.
But always with the vodka. And like, this is the open bar, and this is why I should go to events. So the vodka became like...
Got it.
You know... You know, hey, look, there's a time in my life when, like, I'd go to a thing because there was an open bar, and later I realized I don't like the kind of people hang out at open bars. I'd rather pay for it and not hang out with a bunch of fucking schnorrers.
You know what? I can vouch for that. You just, you know, you were at a cash bar not more than 11 minutes ago. Buying me a drink.
Thank you.
Hey, Arts and Seizures, we've been known to do that.
You touched on something very important there, using the word schnorrer, especially here on the eve of a Jewish holiday. My family, nothing was worse than a schnorrer. The worst of all insults. To just take was the worst thing a person could do.
Yeah, schnorrer is a pretty harsh thing to call someone. But not here. Not here on Arts and Seizure, Heritage Radio Network. We are givers.
Yes.
Givers. Oh, hey, speaking of...
You give too much, Mike.
I give too much. Speaking of giving...
Stop giving.
Here's my little public service announcement for Heritage Radio Network. It's a brand spanking new website. If you're streaming this right now, you're saying... I mean, it's absolutely the Rolls Royce of websites at this juncture. It's amazing what they've been doing. Our friends Aaron, Jack, and Patrick, and Allison over at the HRN office. And we are member supported, so if you're digging what you hear, please don't hesitate to send us a couple bucks, and Pizza Rebel will come
make
over to your house.
He will make
you a blue drink.
I will. I'll come to your house and make a blue drink for everybody.
And for another $5, Mickey Finn will come over and noodle on your pseudo synthesizer.
Mike, I said what I was doing. I was in Greece. I was in Curacao. I was just up in Noranda in the northern Quebec. I wanted to bring you back some caribou. I could not. No one would.
Do you know what caribou is, Rosie?
Do I know what a caribou is?
She writes for the Times.
She knows what a caribou is. She's like the bullwinkle looking thing.
No, explain. It's like Canadian prism wine.
She already knows. Don't insult her.
You know Canadian prism wine?
Well, I'm going to admit to you, I've never actually tasted it. So I have something to learn. I'm sorry you couldn't. They don't let you take that stuff over the border.
No one would give me any. They have it under the bar.
Yeah.
And they'll give you a shot or something.
He said caribou. I was like, no, you're going to bring me like some smoked moose meat.
I wanted to try out the, you know, caribou and Coke, and everyone laughed. But
that would be like a Canadian Calimocha.
Well, that's because they thought you went Coca-Cola.
Uh-huh.
Well, the Calimocha, which we've discussed.
We have.
One of the great... It's like the Long Island iced tea. It's a mystery. It's something that shouldn't work, and yet...
It does.
And yet...
Magically.
For the most uninitiated...
There's no magic. It's loaded
there.
With alcohol.
And sugar.
Can you spell Calimocha? It's like Basque,
yes,
so it's like all K's and X's.
K-A-L-I-M-O-T-X-O.
I know, it's crazy.
Calimocha. So much fun to say.
You've got me there. What is Calimocha?
It's red wine and Coke. Crappy red wine.
Oh, okay.
Like the toxic red wine.
I've seen people.
And Coca Cola.
A great drink.
Sure, they drink in Spain. It's like, and they drink it in something called a mini, which is actually a 20-ounce cup.
Yeah.
That's nothing.
I'll have a mini.
Right. The big one's the gallon jug.
And, you know, it's definitely a hangover waiting to happen, but it's oddly refreshing.
I've seen people drink beer and Coke.
Sure.
I guess you can drink any. Right. Come on. Yeah. You can drink anything.
Oh, beer. Is there anything you can't do?
There are no rules. That's the only rule.
So, Rosie, I did want to talk about your new essays. And aside from
that, looks great.
Your awesome book, "Drinking with Men," which we've celebrated many times here. And if you haven't gotten a copy of that, you as in listener land, please do, because it's one of the finer tomes on our favorite pastime.
Thank you.
But
very much.
But you've been busy. You've been writing all these essays. One is in a Norton anthology, which is like, ooh, in a Norton anthology. Right?
No, in a new Penguin edition.
Is it Penguin edition? Is the other one? I was thinking like, oh, this is like one of those big, heavy door stops of a book, like the backbone of American literature.
I haven't made it into the Norton Anthology of English Literature yet. But
it's only a matter of time.
I hope so.
It's an obvious oversight by the gatekeepers there. But I love... your essay, The Cosmic Hippie Hair Breakdown Blues.
Thank you.
Okay, where I come from, it's called How to Avoid a Jew Pro 101.
Exactly.
But I can dig it. I mean, being a hippie in the Reagan era.
Yeah, that's what I was. And I should say the essay is in a book coming out at the end of the month called Me, My Hair, and I, 27 Women Untangle an Obsession. And when I was first asked to write an essay about my hair, I thought I had nothing to say, and then it turned out to be really fun. And you know, the Grateful Dead claim to have said goodbye this summer.
Oh, okay, listen. Those guys really don't know how to... So you don't have the long goodbye.
I know.
You know.
I know.
It's like... I mean, okay, why isn't Deadhead Nation more pissed off? I mean, I wrote something...
Come on, look at Deadhead Nation.
Jesus
how pissed
Christ.
Off
well,
did
well,
we get?
Dude, they want my head on a fucking pike, right? Because I dared give Bill Kreutzmann's, like, really shitty book. And frankly, it's a bad book. But I gave it a fair shake because, honestly, I want to like the Grateful
Dead.
Did you
pick it up and
I've had great
it?
Grateful Dead experiences. Mm-hmm. I've had great nights at Grateful Dead concerts.
I never
And then
did.
I've had some of the most dismal 4 hours, you know, that you could possibly imagine. And, you know, listen, God bless them for setting up an environment and a system where they can be forgiven for being bad on a given night and where they can be experimental. But never has there been a less critical and accepting group of fans.
That's
because
true.
Where I come from, where Pete Zaremba comes
yeah,
from, where
yeah.
Mickey Finn comes
That's
from, you get up there and you play good fucking music. And if you don't, yeah. It's not right.
Yeah.
People paid to
yeah.
see you.
You're much harder people than we.
And I get the
lazy,
experimental thing, but
work.
Kreutzmann in his book says, "Well, some nights it wasn't so good." He sort of dismissed it, and not just some nights, some years, entire tours where the guitar player was nodding off, and like, dude,
yeah.
people are paying money to see you.
Yeah, I was there during those years, what are often regarded as the worst years.
And he
80s.
Just sort of said, "Doesn't matter." It's like it's their disdain for their fans that really ultimately turned
me
off.
Oh, but that's not fair because they showed fans love in a lot of other ways. A lot of other ways.
I have to thank the Dead for one thing.
Oh, I can't
they were,
wait.
They, yeah. they provided me the impetus and energy to leave lots of bad parties in the late 60s and 70s. Because as soon as the Dead record hit the turntable, I knew it was time
that
to
was
go.
It.
Time
that
to,
was
out
it.
The door. Out the door I was.
I mean, I want to like the Grateful Dead. There's a lot that I do like about them. I think Jerry Garcia is an extremely underrated singer. I think
yeah,
he's a very, very beautiful, emotional... Great
Very
voice,
expressive.
A lot of raw emotional content in his singing before like the guitar noodling starts happening. I mean,
yeah.
the guy can throw a ballad hard.
For sure.
And do a Dylan song and like,
yeah.
and it's the right thing, but they don't make it easy for you. I mean, there's that other guy, you know, with the shorts and the knee socks, you know. You know what the Grateful Dead suck at? Rocking. They don't rock out very
don't
well.
Don't ask me. I mean,
well, obviously, I've thought about this. They do better than anyone else is play slow.
Yeah, yeah. They mastered that
slow.
For sure.
How
for sure.
But we were talking about your hair.
well, that's a thing. I had a great time on Dead Tour, even during those many nights when it is certainly true they weren't playing at their greatest capacity. But the thing that always made me feel kind of like a failure as a Deadhead was
Wow. This is setting the bar low.
Ouch.
I just never could have real hippie girl hair. It's not blonde, it's not long, it's not straight. And, you know, and an annoying thing on Grateful Dead tour was that, you know, sort of ideas about feminine beauty were very orthodox in their way. To be feminine, part of it meant having long hair. And my hair just doesn't get that long.
Well,
so I wrote an essay about that, and it turned out to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, if I wrote an essay about my hair, it'd be about two words. Mickey's essay would be about one.
I wrote a whole essay about hair for GQ once, but that was a long time ago.
Well,
you know what?
I would love to read that.
It was marginally entertaining. You know what? We need an injection of new blood just for a second. I notice we have a walk-in guest, and that is Carlos Grasso from formerly a reformed... recovering...
It's 57, 70-something.
A recovering resident of Hollywood, now of the Big Easy, and he knows exactly what I'm handing him.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is it, Carlos?
Yeah,
blue. Yes, it is blue. It is blue. Oh, it's good too, right?
That's Stella Blue. See, I see. That was to me one of their better songs, The Grateful
yeah.
Dead, and it's a song that Deadheads hate. Which.
Oh.
Which always
it.
The Deadheads I know are like, oh yeah, they're gonna play Stella Blue.
I like
and we're gonna go to the bathroom
Steven.
Now.
Yes,
and I'm like, why is this like the prettiest, slowest?
No, I know.
Like
I know
like this like really, really just like well articulated, painful ballad, but.
But, you know, the irony there is that all those Deadheads who claim to not like it, they still all named their dog after it.
Enough.
the one they didn't name Bear.
Exactly. Exactly.
What about the song Saint Stephen? That was kind of nice.
I love the really early psychedelic period, and I love the sort of Country Dead.
Okay. Yeah.
The other,
everybody likes the Country Dead because it was based on songs.
Songs. Yeah.
And they wrote a few nice songs. I mean, those are good songs. Friend of a Devil, great song. Yeah. Operator, great song. Yeah. You know. Were you ever a hippie, Zaremba? Come on, be honest now. In your youth,
because okay.
You're one of these like Beatles on the Ed Sullivan Show, changed my life kind of dudes.
I don't want to, you know.
I had
really long hair for quite a while. Although I wore a leather jacket, so is that a hippie or not a hippie? I don't know.
Could be
a hippie.
Yeah, I had a fringe hanging off the arms.
I you know what? I did want a fringe jacket. I wanted to be a hippie, and then but then the hippie thing was no longer really
right.
The hippies, you know, wasn't the...
Well, where was it in 1986? I mean,
oh, where
listen,
was it?
I mean, I listen, listen, I
long gone.
I'm a totally like, you know, out of the closet hippie. There's no question about it. I mean, I love to smoke a joint, listen to some Bob Marley. I think peace is better than war.
Sure.
Whatever. If that makes me a hippie.
That doesn't make you a hippie.
I embrace it. You know,
Aldous Huxley wasn't a hippie.
He was
a pacifist.
Listen, in 1968, everybody was a hippie. The MC5 were fucking hippies. The Stooges were hippies.
I would never consider
flower power hippies. But
Mike, you're just, I don't know why you're saying these things.
It's true, because during the Vietnam War, anyone of conscience would have been.
Yeah, but that didn't make you a hippie.
Well, listen, there were all sorts of hippies. There were like radical acid head, you know, hippies that were playing loud guitars, and then there were the people who were turning Haight-Ashbury into an open-air homeless shelter, and then there were the hippies who started Apple Computer. You know, I mean, you know, it's a wide swath of people
you've got a very broad definition of hippiedom.
I think that's fair, though.
You think he's fair?
I think, you know what? I didn't say I think Mike is fair.
He's cool. Good. I'm glad you said that. Good. Now you've restored your credibility.
Yeah, I just call it like I see it. And, you know, if I don't see it, I make it up.
It, you know? Carlos, he's here.
Mickey's killing me with the synthesizer music here.
I thought we were supposed to have a break
the volume,
in the middle
dude.
Of this.
Nah.
What? Nah.
Nah. We're just going for
a break.
No, I already pitched the new website and made a pitch for
sponsor.
Talk
more about the book, then, because it looks great.
It is really a
come on,
great book. Well, we got another book. No, Rosie's a slide.
I know,
a writing machine, and I did want to talk about being a hippie.
Here she comes now,
80s, but here she comes now, because now we get to segue to Led Zeppelin. Yo, kick me that old school beat. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, because this is a... This book's called Here She Comes Now, Women in Music Has Changed Our Lives, and you wrote about Sandy Denny, who was the only extra musician ever to appear on a Led Zeppelin record, which is not the only thing she's famous for, nor should it be. But it was a good way for him to get in.
Absolutely.
To push that drum machine button.
And I think for a lot of Americans my age, our introduction to Sandy Denny came through Led Zeppelin, of course.
Really?
I heard Battle of Evermore before I heard a Fairport Convention record.
I don't
record,
understand.
But it led me to those records.
Why did they need a chick on their record when they had Robert Plant?
Oh, come on. They sound so good
understand.
Together. Come on.
I don't understand. It's a real woman. But
you are a tough beat. Talk about
it
head
takes,
of hair.
It takes a
wow.
tough man to make a tender chicken. But the first time I heard
her. Oh, I love your Gemini era humor.
That's your Gemini era. She sang the theme song for the British BBC color program, Take Two Girls. No, Take Three Girls, right? Three or two?
Oh, I don't know.
Great. It's beautiful.
Can you sing it?
Nah, I wish I could. If I could sing like...
You don't have that one on your fingertips, do you, Mickey Finn?
It's called
just
Life
play
Flight.
Just play Salt Limbo and say that's what it is.
Right. Life Flight with the Pentangle. Right?
She was not in Pentangle.
Wasn't she?
No, I'm thinking of Jackie McShee. Who was the lead singer of Pentangle? But,
common mistake.
Very different voices.
Uh-oh.
Happens to me all the time.
I think on that Basket Full of Light album, it was Sandy Denny.
No.
So
what did she join Fairport Convention or something?
She was in Fairport.
Was she the one that sounded like a guy?
No. I mean, she had a deep voice, for sure.
Husky?
But, well, no, I mean, actually, she didn't have a deep
voice.
Bianca
Jagger? She
had a great range.
Did she record drums? Oh, no, wait, that was Sandy Dennis.
Sandy. Her brother.
who I think also rescued a lot of cats, Sandy
really?
Dennis. I think so. I may be misremembering.
Up the down staircase.
I think right? She rescued
so,
thousands.
Tell us more about Sandy Denny for the unenlightened youth.
Well, like lots of other rock and roll legends, she died very young and tragically. She had taken a fall down a flight of stairs in her early 30s and died a little while after falling down the flight of stairs. But, I mean, she was a middle-class girl from Wimbledon, I think, from, yeah. And, you know, but to me, she always had this voice that sounded like this kind of mythic ideal of England. And the more I learned about her...
This ethereal sort of...
Yeah, this ethereal, but also earthy at the same time. Like, very earthbound, but also kind of magical.
Kind of what you want the Grateful Dead to be like. In,
but different.
In your weird Neoplatonic, I've eaten a bunch of acid kind of way of thinking.
Except that the Grateful Dead are so American and Sandy Denny so English,
I think.
So I've always loved her voice ever since I first heard The Battle of Evermore. I think about her a lot. She was a girl who liked to drink herself, for sure. And had this kind of ethereal... yeah, she was regarded that way, but she was a very regular woman in many ways with this fantastic voice. And
maybe there'll be a Sandy Denny and resurgence in British folk rock along with the resurgence in blue trunks.
I think it's all happening.
It's all happening. Well, you know, if you drink enough Long Island iced teas, which apparently are back, anything can happen. I couldn't believe I was sitting at this bar in Chicago. You guys like, and I watched the bartender mix it, and it was just as you imagine, like everything from the speed rack.
Yeah.
It was like every known, like... toxic vodka, no name gin, you know, probably the shit they clean the bar with, and a splash of Coca-Cola, which somehow, you know, chemically, you know, the thing doesn't produce a mushroom cloud, it produces something, you know, potable. And I was sort of in amazement, and I actually said, well, what are they drinking? Just, oh, they're Long Islands. Not even Long Island
things. Oh, Long Island.
They just call them Long Islands. Oh. And you understand, this was 12:30 in the afternoon, it was like after lunch, it was like some guys... And they were like in giant parfait glasses. It's 12:30. This isn't gonna. I love the Midwest.
Yes, I do too. Actually,
I love them. Are you gonna sing for us, Aremba?
You
seem like you're warming up to something.
I'm warming up to this cocktail.
Right, Mickey's playing what he thinks like Pentangle should sound like.
That's very nice.
It's actually. Sort of like
maybe we won't sing.
Mike Oldfield meets.
Mike,
Sandy
where's your guitar? You said you were at a party last night.
Some party last night. Let me tell you, I am the luckiest cat in America. I get these gigs. All right, I had to read and perform and speak. It's part of the extended Carnivores Manifesto tour. The Carnivores Manifesto, a book I wrote with
Patrick Martins last year. That's a great book.
And the Magical Meat Tour, as we like to call it. And we were asked to speak at the Navajo Churro Sheep Growers Association meeting.
That is a great
meeting.
Gig.
I got paid an entire lamb.
That is amazing.
I promised one. The lamb is still on a farm. It's like some hippie lamb, and it will be harvested sometime at the end of October. Okay, and get it on this, Rosie.
Seriously.
Okay, because I'm getting like two full racks plus the chops, two legs, two loins. I'm looking for someone. A charcuterer, because I would like to make some prosciutto out of one of the legs. But I'm also getting the neck bones, gonna be some stew. I mean, it's like 65 pounds of lamb meat. That's what I got paid for last night's gig. But you gotta say, there were these 12 ancient people who are like the last ones breeding this very rare heritage breed of lamb. The Navajo Churro was actually the first domesticated animal in America. So it's got this great backstory. 12 people show up. The guy from Boise, Idaho is sitting at the table with... I was like, so, how's it in Boise? He goes, oh, you know, you think nothing happens there, but last week a Pink Floyd cover band came through. They were fantastic. And he goes, me and my wife, we sat in the fourth row, and he starts showing me pictures of the fake David Gilmour on his iPhone. And his eyes were like just like lit up, like ours are going to be after we drink this blue curacao. That's Boise, man. That's
Boise. That's Boise. I think they have some potatoes there.
And a Navajo Churro sheep grower. Which was all right.
So it was Jackie McShee, right?
From Pentangle.
Right, that was the singer.
Yeah.
Okay. Why did I think it was Sandy Denny?
Well, I mean, people often think of Fairport and Pentangle.
That's the same thing.
Right.
They're not, but yes.
Of course they're
not
the same thing.
Same category, for
Jackie
sure.
Jackie McShee. Singer of Light Flight.
Who do you prefer, Sandy Denny or Sandy Dennis?
Oh, I don't know. Either one.
Or like, Sandy Duncan.
Up the down. How do you feel up the down staircase.
How do you feel about Sandy Duncan?
Sandy
Duncan.
Part two. But with this,
that was
I'm
me
still
making
fascinated with this book. Here she comes now because
no,
it's a great subject. Women in rock and roll and how, you know.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll tell you what. Mickey, I'm going to name it with Women in Rock and Roll and you just make an appropriate sound on the synthesizer and let's see how this goes. Kim Gordon.
That's right.
Okay. There you go.
There you go. Perfect.
All right. How are you doing over there? Tina Turner.
Wow.
Is that for real? Do that again. I can do that. Taylor Swift. I gotta say, I like Taylor Swift.
That's all right.
I love her too. I've stood up for her on the show many times because her message is fine. Her message is, you know, be different, be inclusive. And, you know, I got a niece who's 13 years old, and the message is be nice to people, be nice to your friends. And if she gets little girls to pick up guitars and writes their own songs, I'm for it.
But also, as Taffy Brodesser Ackner points out in her essay, which is great. Also, take revenge on your boyfriends by writing songs about them.
A good revenge song. You got any good revenge songs? We should go out on a good revenge song.
I think you should.
You and Mickey should bring us.
You know, you haven't,
sort of
you haven't mentioned the awkward date table. You haven't. I mean, it seems like a very nice date. Actually,
I think this is one of the best ones I've ever seen.
Yeah, this is we're back. They're back.
This is one of the few that I'm picturing later.
All right. As ever, it's been the fastest half hour on the internet today. I can't believe it. The first episode of Arts and Seizures of Year 57, 70, something or other. Happy New Year.
That's that Zager and Evans
everybody.
Record, right?
Please don't forget to check out Rosie Chef, the book Here She Comes Now of essays. And what's the book that you ordered?
Me, My Hair, and I.
Me, My Hair, and I. And, of course, me and Mickey are going to write a book called Hair Today, Gone Tomorrow. That'll be coming out anytime now. We'll be back next week talking about James Dean, the 50th anniversary of James Dean's death. I got my friend Keith Greenberg, who just wrote a book about James Dean, and more surprises. Zaremba, I hope you're coming back.
I'm coming
Thanks
back.
To Mickey Finn. Thanks
I
to Zaremba.
I wouldn't miss it for the world.
Rosie Schapp, you're still behind the bar.
I am at South on Tuesdays.
On Tuesday where?
At South.
So go have a drink with Rosie, and you're going to come back. I'm going to talk about the drink, my fall cocktail.
I would love to.
All right, I love you all. Thanks to St. Liz in the booth and everybody out in Radio Land, Arts and Seizures. Back next week with a new theme song, I promise. See ya.
Thank you.
Wow.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.
Hi, listeners. We want to tell you about a podcast we're really digging. It's called Christopher Kimball's Milk Street Radio. Every week, they travel the world to find the most fascinating stories about food, including children who harvest cod tongues after school in Norway and a detective who tracks down food thieves. And on Milk Street Radio, you can always find the unexpected. The comedian who ranks apples using an elaborate 100-point system, the secret history of grocery stores, and how to eat your way through Italy. They also interview the most beloved names in food like Jacques Pepin, Sola El-Waeli, Jose Andres, Jet Tila, Ina Garten, Nigella Lawson, and Padma Lakshmi. Plus, co-hosts Christopher Kimball and Sarah Moulton do live calls with listeners and answer their questions about ingredients, techniques, and culinary mysteries, like why roasting a leg of lamb made one caller's oven explode. Ever wonder why your bread won't rise or your souffle falls flat? Chris and Sarah have the answers. You'll also hear from a rotating cast of contributors, including Kenji Lopez-Alt, Cheryl Day, Dan Pashman from The Sporkful, and Alex Inouz, a French guy cooking from YouTube. Take a listen at 177milkstreet.com/radio or just search your podcast app for Milk Street Radio.